chapter 14, John chapter 14, and in John chapter 14, I guess we're going to begin reading. Let's go ahead and start at the beginning of the chapter and read on down. We'll read the whole chapter, and then we'll look at the verses we want to look at. John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Son may be may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Now, Father, thank you for the word of God that we've read, and I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing tonight. Help us to learn something and remember things that we ought to remember. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity we have tonight, and just ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you will, look at verse 27. Jesus said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now, when we look at that passage of Scripture, it talks about peace and Jesus leaving us peace. And yet, if you talk to the average Christian today, peace is one thing they don't have. Peace seems to be something that's hard to find. And I think some part of the problem is of course, all of our problems always go down to unbelief. They all come down to unbelief. It's unbelief that gets us in trouble with the Lord. We don't do things because of our unbelief. If we leave off praying, that's evidence of unbelief. If we leave off studying our Bibles, that's evidence of unbelief. You've made the decision that prayer and Bible study are not necessary or not profitable, despite what God has said about it. So it's nothing more than simple unbelief. And so if we can trace all of these things, we can also trace the idea of peace being a matter, not having peace being a matter of unbelief. And I think the point of unbelief is here. A lot of times when you hear about peace, for example, we'll go over to the book of Philippians, if you'll turn over there with me. We'll go over to the book of Philippians and we'll read that very, very famous passage, right? Let me find the passage for you. Chapter 4, verse 6 of the book of Philippians. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so that, we look at that and we read that, and obviously we're supposed to believe it. And obviously if we don't pray and we worry about everything, we have anxiety about everything, that's a matter of unbelief. But we look at this peace as being something that we have to earn. In other words, it's something that I must do something to obtain, in the sense it relies upon my activity, my diligence, if you will. My faithfulness is where that peace comes from. But that's not true. And I want you to think about this. You know, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 14, or verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off," talking about the Gentiles, right, "are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." So we see peace in the book of Philippians tied to prayer. But we see peace here tied to the gospel and tied to the person of Jesus Christ. And so if we go back to John, I want you to look at something very clearly here, and something that we have a bad habit of glossing over things and not sitting down and meditating on the Scriptures. And as I was reading this and I was thinking about this, He said, peace I leave with you, my peace. What are the next words? I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world gives its thing as if you conform to the world, we'll leave you alone. That's the way the devil wants everybody to have. But they don't really have peace, do they? They talk about peace, but they don't have it. Matter of fact, they cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's what the false prophets and the false religions do. They don't have any peace with God. They don't have any peace to go through. But Jesus says, I give you my peace. In other words, this peace is a gift. He gives it. It's a gift. And why would we get that? Because our very salvation is a gift, isn't it? If we go to the book of Romans and we talk about salvation, we've got a lot of things in there. I believe it's Romans chapter 3 that he talks about the fact that it's a free gift. I'm trying to find the particular verses that I want here. But he says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He talks about, let's see, I'm trying to, chapter 5, if you will. All right, it says this, all right, in verse 14 of chapter 5 of the book of Romans, it said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the, what, free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one offense, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Our salvation is a gift. It's a free gift. The only thing we can do is either accept it or reject it, right? So why don't we think that way when it comes to the other things that God says we're supposed to have? You know, these things are, peace is one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, is it not? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Right? Long-suffering, gentleness, we talked about that. But it's a gift. It's given. So therefore, if it is a gift, it can only be received. It cannot be earned. It cannot be produced by labor. It cannot be manufactured. It can only, all that we can do in this idea of having the peace that Jesus gives us is to trust the giver to give it. And so what I'm trying to say is when we talk about peace, we see it attached to the person of Jesus Christ in the book of Ephesians. He's called the Prince of Peace, right? In the book of Isaiah, right? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. One of his names is the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. All right? He's done all of that. And we see that all the way through there, the Bible, all the way through the epistles, at the beginning, at the end, and throughout there, you know, it's grace and peace unto you from God the Father, right? We see that over and over again. And God is telling us that both grace and peace are there. And that peace is a gift, and that gift is tied to the gift of our salvation. And the focus of it, and I had several passages in the Old Testament that I wanted to share with you, but I ended up, had a technical idea, a technical problem, and I couldn't print my verse references when I got to the church like I wanted to. And I didn't have time to go back and find them all before the service. But the bottom line is, understanding that the peace that He gives us is all tied to salvation. He starts out in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And He says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And He said, "You know the way, where I'm going, and you know the way." And they asked Him, said, "We don't know the way. We're not sure where you're going." And He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And the passage we have up on the board in John 16, up on the monitor, you know, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." You know, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, right? So when we look at the passage of Scripture there, everything's tied up in the person of Christ. And prayer is just the medium by which we just tell God that we believe Him and we want to receive it. It's tied to our salvation. It's tied to the forgiveness of sins. It's tied to His loving kindness. It's a gift. It's something that we're supposed to have. His peace, not the world's peace, not what we knew of peace before we got saved. It's something better. It's greater. It's the peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that's available when everything's going crazy. It's a peace that's available when all the world's against you. It's a peace that's available when everything's going wrong. It's a peace that's available no matter what the situation. It's a gift. And all you can do is receive it. And if you're trying to run around and earn and find a way to manufacture or convince God that you're worthy of His peace, you're doing it wrong. All you can do is trust Him and open your arms to receive it. Open your heart to receive it, if you will. I don't really have a big message today other than the fact that, you know, if there's anything we're going to need going forward as this world gets crazier and crazier, it's peace. I actually saw a video today of a woman who was standing in a pulpit of some church, I have no idea, so-called church or whatever it was, wasn't a church, but boldly and brazenly saying that if Jesus was preaching, he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount, I guess, and he said, if Jesus were preaching this today, he would be saying, "Blessed," and this is what she said, "blessed are they that end pregnancies, for they are showing loving kindness." And people say, why shouldn't women be preachers? And that don't mean you don't have foolishness like that coming out of the mouth of men. But, you know, this is the whole point. This is a person that, I mean, people are following this person. People are rejoicing over that. She's saying that, hey, you know, if you kill babies, you know, you're showing love and kindness. And Jesus would say that. It's bad enough for you to say it, but then to lie on Jesus and say he would say the same thing. I wouldn't want to be that woman and stand before the Lord. And I guarantee you that woman doesn't have any peace, and she never will. Because the Bible says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And that's just plain wicked. I'm sorry. She didn't have any peace. She certainly didn't have the peace of God. But the simple fact about it, I mean, this is a person that's, you know, probably some Protestant group and everything like that, and she, you know, she has the robes and all that stuff and the little ribbons and everything hanging down and everything, I guess, to, you know, show that she's supposedly something or whatever. I don't know why they dress like that, but, you know, that's the least of their problems is how they dress. When you're preaching stuff like that, trying to teach stuff like that. So what I'm saying is the world's going crazy as far as the thing. It's becoming wicked. We have people in churches now professing to know God and celebrating the extinguishing of life and celebrating immorality and all manner of things. And these are the type of things that can cause godly people to worry and fret. But we're supposed to have peace. Because the truth is, those people are going to be dealt with. You know, Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? His leaf also shall not wither, that bring forth his fruit in the season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So there's some peace there in that, that this is all temporary. It's not going to last forever. And the worse it gets, the closer we get to the coming of our Lord. And we're supposed to have peace. No matter what the situation the world throws at us, we have peace. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's something that passes understanding. It's not something you have to understand. It's something you have to receive. It's something that nobody around you might understand. But the key to having peace is not trying to check a list, check a box of activities, of prayer, or whatever the case may be. The key to having peace is believing that God wants you to have it. That He's given it to you, that it's there, that it's available. And then trusting Him to give it to you. Peace is a gift. It's a gift, surely, as your salvation is. How do I know that I have salvation? I know I have salvation by the Word of God. Amen. Right? It's not a matter of how I feel in any given moment, because my feelings change like crazy. And some of us may be more reserved. Some of us may hold in our feelings better than others. Some people, their feelings are out on their sleeve and Man, 1 minute they're here high and 1 minute they're low, and everybody in the world sees it. But the truth of the matter is, although we may have learned by God's grace to deal with those emotions, every one of us is at that point sometimes. Sometimes we're at a really high point, and nobody else may know it, but you know it, and God knows it. Sometimes you just feel like you're down on the bottom. And your feelings change, but God's Word doesn't change. And I can't get peace from my feelings. That's another thing. I don't feel at peace. I don't care what you feel. You either have peace or you don't have peace. Just like you're either saved or you're lost. If you're saved, there's a reason. If you're lost, there's a reason. If you're saved, it's by faith. If you're lost, it's by unbelief. If you have peace, it's by faith. If you don't have peace, it's from unbelief. If you're lost, it's because you won't put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you're saved, it's because you have put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior. You have repented and believed the gospel. And so by the logical extension of that, if I don't have peace as a Christian, it's because I've gotten myself backslid to a point of unbelief. Therefore, I'm not trusting God. I don't believe that I'm going to have it. I'm just waiting on to feel something. And peace is not a feeling. Peace is a state of being. You either have peace or you're not. You know, during World War II, at the early days of World War II, when Hitler was going over and going in there, Neville Chamberlain, he got the idea. I mean, he's mocked to this day for his pacifism toward Adolf Hitler, and he actually went and talked to Hitler, and he's like, "Wow, Hitler seems like a reasonable, nice fella." He wasn't looking at what the man was doing. He just talked to him, and he felt like everything was all right. I think we can work with him. I think we can come to some type of agreement. And Hitler steadily invading Poland, invading France, going all the way through there. And he's invading place after place after place. He took over Austria, he took over different, and he's invading all these places. And Neville Chamberlain is, you know, the Prime Minister of England at the time, and he's trying to negotiate with him and everything like that, and comes back talking about, with glowing words about Hitler. And it almost cost England. Had they kept Neville Chamberlain instead of getting Winston Churchill in office, things might have been a lot different. But the simple fact was, as we went on with that, they thought that they could. He felt like it was okay, but it wasn't okay. He wasn't looking at reality. He wasn't looking at the truth. And you can't have peace you can feel like you have peace and not have peace at all. And you can be in a hurricane, still have peace. Because it's a gift. It's His peace. It's not the world's peace. It's not a peace that's based upon, it's a peace like we look at Psalm 1, we look at Psalm 73, we look at the different passages of Scripture about how we could be look at the wicked, and you can fret yourself because of evildoers, or you can realize that, hey, this is just a temporary thing, and we can believe God's word. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it through this thing. I'm going to be all right. And isn't that what Jesus told him? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what he's saying? It may, in the world you'll have tribulation. I'm telling you this so you can have peace. So you can believe my word and you can understand that it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Do you have peace? I guarantee you, if you don't have peace in your soul about the work of God and living in this world, and you don't have the peace that it's going to be okay and God's going to work you through, get you through this, and no matter what happens, it's going to be all right. No matter what man does, it's going to be all right. No matter who gets elected president, it's going to be all right. Whatever the case may be, in the final grand analysis of things, all wrongs will be made right. It will be the wicked will be punished, the just will be rewarded, and those that are rewarded, they won't be rewarded because of who they are. They'll be rewarded based upon what they allowed Christ to do in them. And but it'll be all right, it'll be fair, it'll be just, it's going to be okay. We can go out and do what we're supposed to do, live the way we're supposed to live. We don't have to be afraid, we don't have to fear man, we don't have to live in a snare like that. We don't have to be worried and fretful, and whenever we do, we can cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. And that's the truth of the matter. But peace is a gift. We can come boldly to the throne of grace whenever we have a problem. You need mercy? Come boldly to the throne of grace. You need grace? Come boldly to the throne of grace. There's peace. And Christians are supposed to have peace. We're not to be the ones running around with our hair on fire, freaking out over everything that the world does. There is nothing that this world does that I read in my Bible, and we look at our world today, and we're talking about the woman who sat behind a pulpit and the craziness of some woman saying abortions and murdering babies is a good thing, and the loving is example of God's loving kindness. I mean, that's blasphemous and wicked to say such a thing. And we look at all the sodomites and all the things that are going to happen, and yes, we ought to work against it, we ought to stand against it, we ought to, I mean, all this transgender garbage and everything that they're doing and the way they're treating people and the idea of mutilating little children, we ought to stand up against it, we ought to speak against it, we ought to do everything we can to influence our government against it in that regard, but not sit there in despair like somehow this wasn't known to God because it was prophesied. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As it was in the days of Lot, right? Matter of fact, he said, in some cases, that was going to be worse for some places than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he not? So we know this is nothing new that a believer shouldn't know. This ought to get us to focus our eyes and look at the truth of God's Word and say, okay, it's going to be okay. God's Word, there it is. It's right there in front of us. It's normal, it's natural to get upset over wickedness, and we should get upset over wickedness, but not to the point to where we stop trusting God, to where we fret ourselves, to where we have no peace. And there's nothing stopping us from having peace because God's peace is a gift. And the only way you're ever going to receive a gift is if you trust God. the giver. If I were to offer you $100 bill right now, or if I were to come up and offer, if I were to stand up Sunday morning and something that hardly ever happens, you know, don't know if it's ever going to happen again in our time or anything, but if we had a packed house of people, right, if everybody had ever said they were coming, showed up and lined the pews, and I put up $1,000, and I'll say, first one that asks for this, I'll give you $1,000. There'd be people in the crowd that look at me and say, "Oh, there's what's the catch? What's the catch? You ain't gonna do that." There'd be some folks that were just like, and you know who would raise their hands first? It'd be the youngins. The youngins would sit there and they said, $1,000, I'm in. Boy, their hand would be up like that, right? No wonder he said, if you have faith as a little child, right? All right? And you'd have adults, these wise adults, and they'd look at me like, what? That can't be true. I think that's why when it comes to what Jesus says about peace, we kind of look at him like, instead of coming up and saying, Lord, I need that. I need your peace. Instead of raising our hand right up there and say, I'm in, what we do is like, well, what do I got to do to get this? Yeah. There's got to be a catch somewhere. There's got to be something I got to do to have God's peace. And the truth of the matter is, there's not. It's a gift. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us to believe that you, the giver of the greatest gifts, are true to your word, that when our Savior promised us to give us his peace, that he wasn't lying, he wasn't trying to trick us. Help us just to believe your word. Lord, help us pray with the understanding of if we falter, we can come right back and receive this great gift of peace. And we're told not to be careful for anything, but to bring all our burdens to you, to cast all our cares upon you. Then everything of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto you. And you said you'd give us peace. Lord, you haven't promised to give us everything we ask for. I mean, you've told us we have not because we ask not. And then we ask and receive not because we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our lust. But if you told us that we would just bring all these burdens to you, that there's peace and it would be given. It'll keep our hearts and minds. Help us look at this peace as a gift and just be willing to receive it. Willing the same way we were to when we saw that we needed to be saved, and we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and his shed blood. Help us to see our need for peace and realize that it's a gift that comes only from our Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.